Local news, local issues, local talk. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
My guest this morning is Justin Nelson, Morrill County District Attorney. Much to discuss with him this morning, and that conversation will begin right after these words, so stay with us.
Did you know street trees are regulated in the city of Pendleton? Permits are required to plant trees, and only certain types of trees can be planted. Street trees must be maintained to keep roadsides visible and sidewalks walkable. If you fail to maintain your trees, you may even be cited by the Pendleton Police Department. You can find details about street tree requirements and report an unmaintained or dangerous tree on the city of Pendleton's website. Just search street trees.
Local news, local issues, from the area's only live and local morning show. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Well, good morning. Thanks for joining us on a Monday. Dan Tutzman here with the KUMA Coffee Hour, and joining me in studio this morning, Justin Nelson, Morrill County District Attorney. Justin, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Well, kind of a mixed bag weekend, and I don't know if the weather affected you guys out there. I know that around Pendleton and further east, Walla Walla College Place, Saturday night was quite a light show and a mix of rain and wind and stuff. Mm-hmm. But you also had a fire. We'll talk about that a little bit. But yeah,
I'd say right now, if you go outside here in Pendleton, it's what it seemed like it was for a lot of the weekend. It's just windy. It is windy. It's cooler now, and it was a lot warmer earlier on. I mean, Friday was hot. Saturday was warmer. And I think like everyone else out here, you got a few nice days. All of a sudden, Home Depot's full with people shopping for garden items and building supplies. Our farm supply store in Heppner was also just as busy, I think, on Friday and Saturday. Folks thinking, hey, now's the weekend. Let's get there and plant things. And Mother Nature decided also, well, this is the time to blow all those plants over. That's what it seems like right now. It was a windy day this entire weekend. I, of course, had, like most folks, a very long honeydew list to work on. And I got some of it done, you know, but not all of it. Part of that's going to be being spraying. And, of course, the wind kind of shoots that out the water. So that still needs to get done out there. But, you know, a very busy weekend for us just on the farm. You know, that's one of those things about... My wife has great ideas. She really has done a fantastic job on our farm. But that also involves, you know, fruit trees. She thought, hey, let's do 60 fruit trees or more and setting all that up. And it's worked out. But of course, I always try to remind her we live out here in the desert. It really is more of a desert area, which everything needs water. And so that I'm now quite proficient in drip line, irrigation water, stuff like that. Because it's a very limited resource in our area, so you have to try to find the most effective ways to water trees and plants. You can't rely upon what they have in the Portland and the Valley area by just Mother Nature watering the trees for you, where everything just grows, you know. Out here, it's probably the one thing I always think about all the time is how am I going to get water to it? How many have a constant on the schedule? Things like that. So that was the busy weekend, probably for a lot of other folks also. But that storm you're talking about absolutely was a light show. I was coming back from Hermiston on Saturday, and you kind of saw past Heppner, probably as you're talking about a little more east, just lightning all across the skies. And it was a crazy light show. And I was, you know, worried for hail. Like I was even this weekend in our back shed, I would be parking all of our cars in the back shed. He's like, I don't want another hailstorm to knock out our cars. And so, but that storm, yeah, the lightning storm going through was an impressive sight. I really thought it might come right over our house, hit us, but it never did. We got a few sprinkles. It was just, again, the wind came up. That was on Friday and Saturday, but that storm was impressive. You know, I had a lot of folks who took some amazing photos. I mean, if you look online, some of the photos that people have been posting from that storm, the color and everything else is amazing. So, crazy weekend for that. A lot of things to still get done, but, you know, in the end of the day, it was a nice weekend. Still getting a lot of things done. It was warmer weather for the folks who want it, and but not too hot also. So, it was pretty good.
Yeah, and then let's talk about this fire. Another concerning thing on Sunday along I-84 actually shut down the highway between Boardman and Arlington for several hours there for a while.
It was. That was a scary situation. You know, when you see that along the highway, and I think I saw from the Borman Fire Department's website or their Facebook page, there's about a 10-mile stretch that they're working on, and there's a line of fire all the way across. And so they had to reach out to a lot of different firefighters to stop that spread because, again, we're right in the middle of that wind. Right? I think the only blessing we had was that we're still a little bit early in the season, so things are still pretty green. This exact same thing would have happened back in end of June, July, August. You're not stopping that thing for a while. That wind comes up, all that burnable material, the grass instantly just catches fire. And so it was a scary situation, but the amazing work of our local fire departments. And what we got to remember is some fire departments are full-time employees, right? Full-time firefighters. But I know in Heppner, Lexington, Ione, Irrigan, a lot of those are volunteer. You know, they are jumping out from work, racing over to the fire department, you know, getting on the trucks and going out. They work, they train, you know, on the weekends and at night. They volunteer. They give themselves up just to help protect the communities. And so I always try to think about that. And particularly with my I've always been worried about fires. As a kid growing up, dryland wheat farmer, you know, I remember my dad constantly kind of, you know, yelling at me or telling me, hey, every time that wheat truck stops, I get out, go right underneath the truck, and I have to make sure there's not a single bit of wheat stalk touching an exhaust. I've seen these wheat fires when they start out in the middle of the field. They're not going to stop. They just keep on going. You're going to see the farmers out there during harvest with their tractors, and you're going to wonder, hey, why is there a disc hooked up to it? Why do they have that tractor out there? That is a pure fire prevention right there. Once a fire starts, one of the best ways to stop it, it seems like, is putting a disc and make a perimeter to stop that spread, because it's just a constant spread, you know, that fire. I remember my dad even, one time I was just sitting in the wheat truck waiting to get a load of wheat, and over the CB radio, he's yelling at me, get that blankety blank vehicle off the field. I'm like, what is he talking about? And I see this smaller truck going across the field. I think it was one of the, maybe a state agency was going out to different farmers trying to check on yield status. Like, what were the yields that year? And this was before lost cell phones and stuff like that. So they actually go out to different farms and say, hey, how's the harvest this year? But my dad knew that truck, how lower it was, he talked about it like it was like lighting matches, because every time that wheat stalk would hit the exhaust, it could light a fire, and he was scared to death. And so I had to run out there and chase a state agency off the field saying, hey, you're going to burn our field down. The person understood and said, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And yeah, just be aware of it. And, you know, I've seen these fires, fought those fires, and I'm just so impressed by the volunteers that go out and freely do that. For me, I was doing it as an employee. For me, I was doing it to save our farms, you know, from losing the wheat and stuff. But these guys voluntarily go out and save others. And so I just definitely appreciate the work. And it was a wake-up call this weekend that these can happen. They can spread fast. And fire happens naturally. You can have lightning. You know, you can have accidents. But you can even have, you know, thunder and lightning come out there. Lightning can strike and cause a fire. But the key is, don't be the source of it. Don't do something stupid that causes that fire. You are putting people at risk. Do the steps you can to even protect your own property. You know, make your own fire line. Look around, you know, kind of mow down the tall grasses, things like that. Don't put your community members at risk, because those volunteers, people you go to church with, you know, you have students with, they're risking their lives to, you know, fix a problem that you caused. So just be aware of that, you know, and it's early in the season right now, but you're going to see this more and more this summer. It gets hotter, it gets drier, and just don't be the cause, please.
Well, all right, well said. Talking this morning with Justin Nelson, Morrow County District Attorney. Going to take a quick break, come back with more, so stay with us.
Is pain altering your life? Listen to Ron Iverson and how the Center for Ozone Therapy in Pendleton has helped him.
I was getting a corticosteroid shot every 6 months, and I wanted to find another solution, something that brought healing to the body. I've had a total of 4 treatments in 2 sessions. The pain is gone. The inflammation is way down. Everything is better. If you are suffering from chronic pain, I would recommend that you give this a try.
If you suffer from chronic pain, call the Center for Ozone Therapy in Pendleton, 541-276-1752.
Breaking news! The Port of Walla Walla and its partner, Alaska Airlines, are excited to announce the return of the second round-trip flight between Walla Walla and Seattle. This second flight commences on September 6, 2023 at the Walla Walla Regional Airport with an early a.m. departure and a late p.m. arrival. Let's rally behind this expanded air service and fly Walla Walla. Book your tickets today at alaskaair.com. Remember, free parking.
Are you an experienced line cook? Team Wild is looking for line cooks to want to grow and be a part of an evolving team. Come this Wednesday to Wild Horse Resort and Casino from 10 to 2 for their walk-in hiring event and on-the-spot interviews. Positions offer competitive wages, amazing benefits, 9 paid holidays, birthday leave, paid vacation, free meals, and more. Walk-in Wednesday hiring events from 10 to 2 in the HR building at Wild Horse Resort and Casino, Pendleton.
Is your American flag old and tattered? Here's Mike Turner with Pendleton Pioneer Chapel on how you can properly dispose of an American flag.
One of the things that we can do to retire an American flag appropriately is by placing it with a veteran that is chosen to be cremated. That way the flag can be retired in a respectful and honorable way.
Mike and Michelle invite you to stop by and say hello at Pendleton Pioneer Chapel at 131 Southeast Byers Avenue in Pendleton. In the late 1800s and the early 1900s, wheat farmers used up to 40 mules to pull combines through the hills of wheat country. Umatilla County Historical Society presents the 19th annual Old Iron Show. Experience the sights, sounds, and mechanical marvels which led those mules out of the fields for the last time. Tractors, engines, cars, trucks, horse-drawn, and hand-powered machinery will be on display at the free show June 2nd, 3rd, and 4th in Roy Raley Park, Pendleton.
Issues that matter to you. It's the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Back this morning with Justin Nelson, Morrill County District Attorney. And Justin, wanted to talk to you a little bit about some of the cases your office is working on, starting with Marco Antonio Garcia.
Yes, Mr. Garcia currently has 4 open criminal cases with Morrill County. Those are driving while suspended, I think 2 separate charges of that. That's basically where the person, the license is suspended, and it can be suspended felony, misdemeanor, or even violation. Sometimes folks will have made too many speeding tickets, and they can have their license suspended. That's called suspended violation, where a person, if they get pulled over, will get a ticket. Other times, let's say a person has a drunk driving conviction or something else, and they can be suspended misdemeanor, which means if they are pulled over and caught driving, then they can get arrested and charged with a misdemeanor offense. They can go up to a felony for other circumstances. So Mr. Garcia had 2 open driving while suspended cases, a theft 3 charge, failure to appear case, and then also one of the more interesting ones, thefts out on Easter Day Farms here in Morrill County. Now, Easter Day Farms is really one of those rare cases where you actually get to recover almost all the property stolen and catch the person in the act. That's not usually the case. Usually a suspect, you kind of find a suspect, maybe you track them down weeks later, and maybe you recover only some of the property, if any at all. But in this case, when you were able to catch the person in the act and, you know, chase after them, all the property is able to be recovered, luckily. This is one of those unique cases also where the farm had a recent history of like some things being stolen. So they invested, again, their own time and money into a good security system for the farm. That communicated with the cell phones, I believe, and one night the owner received some notification that there was, you know, a vehicle going through on the farm, and it's like way past normal hours, you know, not any of their employees out there, and so he was able to see it on a cell phone and call law enforcement right away, saying, hey, I think there's somebody, you know, trespassing at least on the farm. He was able to keep watching them, and also started heading out to the farm also to try to you know, catch the individuals. Law enforcement arrived and saw the alleged truck right there, and a pursuit started. Morrill County Sheriff's Deputy Coley Neubert, and who's the K-9 deputy, kind of started chasing after the vehicle. It was a high speed, you know, a pursuit. But soon after, like, I think one of the tires of the trailer blew out, so there wasn't as high speed of a pursuit. It was towing a truck towing a horse trailer full of items, and pretty soon that truck stopped. The driver got out and ran. Based upon it was the middle of the night, dark out there, the deputy tried to kind of look for the suspect a little bit, but realized, hey, I need to call backup. I mean, unlike, you know, the city where you might have 2 officers always in the same car, you think out in the rural spots, it's a deputy or officer by themselves. And so it's a very dangerous situation in the middle of the night, dark situation. You know, you don't want to do a one-on-one fight. And so they're waiting for backup at that time. Backup comes, still really dark, not really sure where the suspect is. But one of the people who came as a backup, I think Mark Pratt from the Borman Police Department, had remembered that the Borman Fire Department had a drone that they had been using and kind of practicing on. They actually called that drone out. I mean, it's still at night, so you wonder how it's going to help. Well, this drone, since it's used for, you know, rescue operations, has a heat-seeking sensor on it. And so they were able to put this drone up, and we actually had some of the still photos from that drone that I showed to the grand jury. And you'll see a large, you know, circle, irrigation, you know, field, irrigated field. And in the middle, you kind of see a little form of a body, the heat signature right there. And so law enforcement was able to kind of go in with the canine and catch the individual. And really, I think the deputy, Deputy Neubert, was clear to the grand juror saying, you know, if we would not have had that drone, we weren't going to catch that person probably, because these were planted fields with a little bit of growth, but they were very, very bumpy area. And he actually had kind of put himself in the dirt and covered himself up some. And so there's no way they easily would have found him. And so the individual was taken into custody. The individual refused to identify themselves, didn't say anything. They didn't want to say who they were. And it was when they this person was taken to the jail and brought to the jail staff was aware of him and it was very clear, oh, nice to see you back, Marco Antonio Garcia. And so they verified that information, that was correct, that that was who was found in that field and taken into custody. This was a short, you know, theft aspect in time, but based upon the price of a lot of the farm equipment that was taken, it's kind of specialized equipment, it ended up being about over $60,000 taken, but also recovered. And also during this time was realized that, hey, the trailer that was used was also reported stolen. And so we're able to get that back also to the owner, you know. And but again, that's one of those cases where even the owner of that horse trailer now, that was towed away, the trailer, and now he's figuring out, how am I going to pay to get this out of the tow yard? And so that's something our office, we usually work on trying to get some money every year to help, not just, you know, with victim services, but these type of things, when your car is stolen but then towed, well, the tow yard wants to get paid, and you might not have that $500 or more to get that out. And this horse trailer, again, this type of situation, how can we help victims, because their life is already turned upside down, and now you're told, hey, you weren't expecting this bill, but now you got to pay $500 to get this out. And oh, you might get restitution, but that might get paid, if ever, over 10-20 years. That's not fair. That's not a good system. So we try our best to try to help the victims of these kind of cases. And this really kind of reminded me of, cases that stick with me where victims are kind of victimized again, constantly, where this is one of those good cases where the property is recovered. But in almost most of our other cases, the property probably wouldn't be recovered and it'd be a restitution docket at $60,000, which might never get paid back. And for all those folks saying, oh, you have insurance for a reason. Well, insurance doesn't cover everything, and still a time commitment for you to even have to deal with that. And you're arguing with the insurance company on what you had stolen. It's not right. And so a case I remember when I was in, after my first year of law school, was a car that had been stolen. I think it was an early, you know, 2000s, I think Mach 1 Mustang. And it was a local Heppner resident, and she loved this car. It's like one of those cars where she got older, kind of retirement, her gift. And it was stolen. And I remember I was just sitting there in the courtroom, because I wanted to watch court. And it was a sentencing. And she went up there and made her victim statement. And what she wanted was her car back. It never was recovered. They figured out maybe who had stolen it, but never got it back. And I realized that's what, you know, that's what victims want. And they never become whole. They're victimized. And normally at most what they get is restitution. The court never forces them to say, hey, it's never a two-part saying, hey, well, you're either going to go to prison for twice as long, or you can return the property and it'll be a lesser sentence. It's never that. It should be. I mean, it should be saying, make the victim whole. And it's not always money. You know, sometimes these, like in her car, it meant the world to her. She was crying on that stand. She wanted that back. And at the end of the day, she didn't get it back. She's feels less safe in her own community. She is never made whole. Not even close to it. And that's always stuck with me. I've done cases before where I've tried to even work with defendants ahead of time, saying, hey, want a better offer here on this case? Return the property. We've done it a few times. But honestly, it's difficult when you have cases where as soon as they take these items, many folks take it to feed their drug habit. And so the first thing they do is they sell it instantly. And so that's the hard part. Right then, they'll go away and sell it. And it's hard to get that stuff back. So it just hits home, you know. We'll try to work on it and try to find better solutions in the future.
All right. Justin Nelson, Morrill County District Attorney, going to take another break. Back with more. Stay with us.
catch the Coffee Hour on your phone. Download our free mobile app, My Columbia Basin.
Time to get the deck ready for summer. Zimmerman & Company True Value can get you started and has expert advice to give you a hand. Here's Terry to tell you more.
We've got all the sanding equipment, all the stains and deck paints.
Do you have a recommendation of when is a good time to paint?
Yeah, when it's above 65 degrees and humidity is, you know, relatively low. I think across the board, you want to make sure it's in between that, like, 65 to 90 pretty much.
Zimmerman & Company True Value. Open 7 days a week on Main Street in Pendleton.
Need a ride? The City of Pendleton has you covered. Did you know the Dial-A-Ride Transit Van Service in Pendleton runs 7 days a week? To arrange your next day ride with Dial-A-Ride, call Elite Taxi Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 541-276-6476. This service runs within the City of Pendleton and the urban growth boundary, and cost is only $1 per ride. For daily schedules and other transit service the city provides, go to City of Pendleton's website at pendleton.or.us/transportation.
The Pendleton Market 76, your hometown all-American store, is proud to be part of this great community and part of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We stand up when we hear the national anthem, put our hands on our hearts when we recite the Pledge of Allegiance, and we thank God for everything He has given us. If you feel the same way, stop by and say hi to your neighbors at the Pendleton Market 76, your hometown all-American store. God bless America, God bless you, and God bless beer.
At McKay Creek Estates, every day brings something new and exciting for our residents. We're so much more than bingo. From day trips, poker nights, to manicures and happy hours, our team works hard to create moments that bring residents joy and fulfillment. We invite you to come visit and experience the fun for yourself as we celebrate life at every age. For more information, visit prestigecare.com/McKay Creek. Again, that's prestigecare.com/McKay Creek.
Local news and issues that affect you. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Back this morning with Justin Nelson, Morrill County District Attorney, continuing discussing cases your office is working on. Tell us about Jose Carlos Gonzalez.
I suppose it's one of those things where we'll keep it in the family. This is the brother of Marco Antonio Garcia. So, he was charged for an incident that happened outside the Mini Mart gas station in Irrigan back on May 1st. And what stood out about this case was, again, two things. One was the community involvement, really the community and bystanders stepping up to kind of help protect the victim in this case. And the other part was just the nature of the alleged offense and when it happened. It was still about 8:30 p.m. at night, but still daylight out and a busy time at the gas station, a lot of cars around. And an alleged incident here with a shots fired, like we're not sure if it was shot at a person or just, you know, shot up in the air as a menacing tactic to try to get a person's attention, kind of showing, hey, I mean business, I shot a gun in the air. But then afterwards, staying out there, driving around, coming back there, trying to pull this victim out of a car. And bystanders are all watching here going, hey, what's going on? And so that's kind of what stood out to me too, is that egregious nature of that being in a public area kind of during daylight with, you know, a business with cameras did not change the person's mind from this, you know, criminal activity. Didn't think, hey, okay, there's a lot of people around, I'm going to leave now. Nope, continued allegedly doing it. What, you know, in this kind of case here, I really want to appreciate the bystanders who helped this victim. I mean, I'll say in this case, we took the case through grand jury on Friday, came back with a true bill, and defense is going to be arraigned on that today at 1:15. Oh, not arraigned, I think arraigned today. But really, even in this case, the victim did not attend grand jury. Several witnesses, you know, that were involvement there, the hesitant, I guess, victim didn't return our calls. But based upon the bystanders' testimony, you know, the people just there at the gas station, we were able to get that true bill case. So again, I appreciate all their work helping us out there in these cases, willing to come in and testify at grand jury. I mean, think about this. It's not just they saw something, but they, you know, these citizens out there can also be concerned with their own, you know, safety. I mean, it had a person who shot a gun in the air allegedly, and they're understanding, hey, I'm going to come testify at grand jury. You know, we were concerned for this lady. One citizen actually out there, she was just filling her water up and she saw this happening, kind of was watching it, and then said, hey, no, I got to step in. So she came up, stepped in, talked to them, and hey, why don't you come inside the gas station with me? No, don't stay in your car. He's trying to get you out. He's still blocking you in. Let's go in together. And that's when law enforcement arrived and the suspect, you know, saw the lights, ran off, you know, in their car. So definitely one of those cases where defendant's still in custody, $75,000 bail. But really, it's I appreciate the work of our local citizens here helping with that case.
In the few minutes we have left, talk about the contested election for Port of Morrow seats.
Yeah, Port of Morrow, as folks have been, you know, seeing in the news, it's a very important operation for Morrow County. Lots of business come in, and the port commissioners, kind of like the county commissioners, kind of oversee the Port of Morrow. And so those, before, have been more sleepy, I guess, elections, but this year is much more of a contested election. So we had two contested elections. John Murray won re-election in the Port of Morrow, and Kelly Doherty actually won a contested election and unseated a person who'd been on the port commissioner for a long time. So it is a new new series coming in, new folks, and we'll see what happens there. But it's great to see sometimes these contested elections to see what happens. And I'm happy, even though we had a lower voter turnout, it wasn't a great voter turnout for these special elections, and I tried to stress the fact that these are important. But I think we still beat the state average in Morrow County. So I was happy about that. But still, I wish we could get a lot higher than we do on these contested elections, because they affect your life daily. The school district, port district, they affect you a lot more than even your House or Senate district member. So I wish that we had more people participate in those elections.
All right. Well, my guest this morning is Justin Nelson, Morrow County District Attorney. Justin, as always, I appreciate you taking the time. Something going on with your office.
Always something. I appreciate the time to be here and get this opportunity to explain what we're doing, because really, folks don't know what we do in the office, you know, at times. And this is the best way to kind of tell the community, here's what we're doing and how we're trying to help protect you.
And it is appreciated. Again, Justin Nelson, Morrow County District Attorney. We'll talk to you again next month. That's going to do it for this edition of the KUMA Coffee Hour. Back again tomorrow. Everybody have a great day.
For local news, sports, and weather. News Radio, FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA, Pendleton.